It's basically alchemy meets astronomy meets psychic powers meets telekinesis. Boom, straightforward, easy. Welcome back to another episode of New Game Plus. You are listening to a podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. Normally, you would hear from Dustin first, kicking us off, and you will notice that I am not him. And this week, our format actually isn't three guys talking about a video game, but two guys talking about a video game, because Dustin is out of the country. He's currently dead. No, he didn't die. That would be really sad. Are you sure? Yeah, I wouldn't be like opening this podcast with all kinds of hype and energy if that had happened.
I haven't seen a picture of him, so I don't know if he's alive.
I do know he's alive. We just talked to him like 3 minutes ago.
I don't know that was him, though. It could have been an imposter.
What, he got like taken and somebody terrible internet connection that sounds like they're in the third world is mimicking his voice so that our podcast will go on?
Yeah, get on with it.
It's nothing.
Dustin's not here.
Yeah, Dustin's not here. Let's find out who we are. My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And we're glad
normally this isn't terrible.
Oh, yeah, no. Half of what Dustin does is keep me from rambling, so.
Yeah, I'll have to fill that void this week.
Yeah, you've got a big job to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Kenny, we've got some small talk that we can do, because normally Dustin has this very interesting and planned and elaborate news section.
He's great at the anecdotes, the gaming anecdotes.
I did a little bit of preparation for that.
Okay.
So
what's going on?
The Nintendo Switch. There's some Switch news. Don't roll your eyes yet. I know I'm a fanboy.
You would be talking about the Switch.
I know. They did something weird recently. You can now pre-order their online service coming out in September. So you know their new online, their paid online that they've never done before. You can pre-order that.
Why? Why would you pre-order something that's a monthly subscription?
I know. I don't like. What are you pre-ordering? And they're not gonna run out,
right? It makes no sense. What are they offering? Internet? Bonus content? Like, are there cards you get? Trading cards?
Yeah. So there's gonna be something, right? Like,
why?
I was looking at the article on GameSpot, and it doesn't really say much about what you get, but like you pre-order it from Amazon. The online retailer doesn't list what date the service is scheduled to begin, but the memberships are available in two tiers, 12 month or 3 month, and will be delivered via a download code. So that also confuses me, like, what's being downloaded?
Yeah, I don't even know. It seems like the wonkiest way to do it. But Nintendo's never done things the way everybody else has done them. Even when those are quote unquote the proper ways to do things, they kind of always just toot their own horn. Yeah. So
I mean, that said, I'm kind of excited about it, because now I'm like, wait, what are we getting then?
It'll be great that the service is live, but I can't imagine paying for it beforehand. Like, why?
Sure. I they'll have to give me some incentives. If you do get bonus badges or whatever online, I'll do it, because I'm getting
you're
it
gonna
anyways.
Do it anyways. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm definitely getting it. Well, that's gaming news. I don't know how you feel about that. Let us know in Discord this week or something. Either way, it's Nintendo. I'm hype. What else? It's summer.
Were you about to try and do the segue?
I've got one other thing. It's not a segue.
Okay. So I was going to force
the
segue.
Be thinking of your segue.
You said summer. I thought you were going sun, the whole thing.
No, it was better than mine. No. That's not my job. I'm leaving that up to Dustin when he gets back.
All right.
I went to Barton Springs today.
Oh, fun. For those who don't know what Barton Springs is, in the Austin area, Barton Springs is this kind of fun outdoor natural springs that has then become a big, like, popular swimming attraction. And it's pretty nifty. It's a cool place.
And it's very cold, and it was amazing. So you lay out on this hill, get really hot, and then go get in freezing water and immediately want to get out. It's really fun, and you should do it, Kenny.
Yeah, I plan to. It's
that's not your vibe, though. I can't see you doing that.
Why not? You say that like I'm not.
It just doesn't seem like you.
Oh no.
Nah, I've never seen you shirtless.
Have you not? That's so weird. And it's weird that I would say that. That's weird. Like I feel like I do outdoor stuff way more than you guys do. I don't know. There was a week just recently where like three times in the week we went and hung out at the lake.
I know. There's no invite coming our way.
Well,
anyways, you missed a golden opportunity to join us today.
There it is. Well done.
I thought of that one late after.
To hang out in the sun?
Yeah. So funny segue. We played Golden Sun.
We can't commit to it as hard as he does. It's just not the same. Dustin, we miss you. Podcast not the same without you.
Overview.
Golden Sun is a great game. Sorry, I'll stay on track. Golden Sun is an RPG, and it's on the Game Boy Advance. It came out in 2001, which is crazy to me. That's before Wind Waker was released, and I think the GameCube also, so it's pretty old. It's
That was the year you were born, right?
Yeah.
I guess you guys get to make old jokes at me, I get to make young jokes.
No, I'm down with that. Yeah, I was born in November 2001. So Golden Sun is this, like, I mean, it's got some typical JRPG vibes going for it, for sure. Bad writing, anime-looking characters and magic and all that. But it's not developed by Square Enix, which is a pretty interesting and attractive thing to me, because I love Square Enix, don't get me wrong, but an RPG not made by Square, I'm like, well, you better be bringing something.
That's a nice change of pace, for sure.
Yeah, sure. I mean, a lot of similarities, but pretty cool. So it was developed by Camelot Software. Not sure if you have heard of them, Kenny. Have you?
Not that I know of, but this title was big enough and done well enough that I would assume they made other things that I'm familiar with.
Well, they have, and you will be, because we played one on the podcast. They made Shining Force. Do you remember that game?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that weird, like, strategy Fire Emblem knockoff, but still really fun game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they made that, and they're actually still a company, and I don't know if you know this, but they made Mario Tennis Aces.
Really?
Yeah. Weird. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, really weird. Like, super weird, because I was like, that's not right. Nintendo totally developed that. But no. They
seems like they've had
software.
An ongoing healthy relationship with Nintendo. That's
absolutely
a good thing.
Because Nintendo published Golden Sun.
Right.
And Mario Aces, of course. So Golden Sun follows the story of Isaac. Isaac is a silent protagonist. Big surprise, he's 17 years old, and he is an adept. And adepts are these magically attuned people within the world of Wayward. Am I saying the right? Wayyard. Wayyard. That's terrible. It should be Wayward.
That's a weird world.
It is, and I hate that. But Wayyard, that's terrible.
You can't say it like you're a redneck.
Wayyard. You have to, though, kind of.
It forces it. I'm not even going to say it because I don't want to sound like a dork.
It's the world of Golden Sun. Perfect. And adepts are the magic users. And it's kind of an interesting little backstory on how they work. So there are four branches of magic in this world. And they have to do with planets. So you have Venus, Mars, help me out, Mercury,
Jupiter.
Those are the four branches of the magic system. So Venus is the manipulation of rocks and plants. Mars revolving around fire and heat. Jupiter is the wind one. Mercury is water. And those are like the elements, I guess you could say, of the magic system. Adepts use these, and you can be a Venus adept or a Mars adept. And essentially, the magic used to be imbalanced, and it's this massive thing called alchemy. And Alchemy got, like, when Alchemy wasn't chained up or like defeated, then the world was in chaos. The magic was imbalanced. Kind of, I always imagined it as like the planets are not aligned or whatever. Like,
you're going really lore deep. It's like this was a intense, long, involved RPG or something.
Right. Yeah. Who would have thought?
Who'd have thunk it?
I'll try to. I won't get too crazy because can get crazy. But I feel like this was pretty straightforward compared to, say, Chrono Cross or some of those other ones we've recently played.
Oh, certainly. Like, plot doesn't get nearly as convoluted as some of the RPGs we've played, just because, like, that's not its hook.
Right.
You know? While we're on the topic of things that, when you try and pronounce them, you sound funny.
Adept?
No. Tell me what they call their magic system.
Synergy.
You don't say it with psi like psychic?
So growing up, I used to call it psi energy, but there's no E there. It's synergy.
It's not synergy?
It's spelled P-S-Y-N-E-R-G, synergy. I do not call it synergy.
I know, because that's the worst sounding one.
It's the worst thing, yeah. So synergy.
But synergy sounds like a motivational speaker from 2001.
Oh, come on. No, it doesn't. Synergy is what they call their magic. Like, that's how they understand their magic. Like, to the layman, oh, they have a tank of synergy. I think of it as like mana, pretty much, because you can like use your synergy and it's like you've kind of exhausted it.
Yeah. It's literally like their psychic energy. It was really poorly named. They just, you know, portmanteaued that bad boy. They portmanteaued it. And
Dustin needs to be back.
I know. Just combine the words and now you get an unpronounceable magic system, but that plays out pretty typically.
Bad.
It's basically alchemy meets astronomy meets psychic powers meets telekinesis. Boom, straightforward.
Yeah. There you go.
Easy.
So let's get into just a quick plot point of how the game starts. So Isaac is from lives on Wayard and lives in the town of Vale, and it's kind of a small village that is at the base of this mountain, Mount Elif. And it's storming and your mother wakes you up and is like, we have to go. A boulder is falling. The mountain is like erupting and there's this avalanche that's happening. It's going to destroy the town.
And at first I was like, that's bad Japanese translation or something. They can't mean that a boulder is falling from the sky. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
But it literally, this mountain was exploding and this giant boulder is about to fall on the city.
That's what happens. Like, one boulder specifically is giant and these guys are trying to hold it back. So that's how you start this game.
Yep.
So you're scrambling, whatever, you meet up with your friends and your friend Garrett, who follows you through the story, and Jenna, who is with you for a brief time in the prologue, your childhood friends. And Jenna's brother Felix is drowning. He's holding on to this thing and the water is really fast. It's raining really hard. Anyways, the boulder falls and kills your dad, kills Jenna's parents, and we don't know where Felix is.
Right in the fields.
Oh yeah, pretty quick.
I mean, it's assumed that he dies as well, although fairly early in the game, early enough that I don't feel like we're in spoiler territory, you learn that Felix doesn't die.
Right.
You know, and is actually years later, as the story actually progresses, is caught up in kind of all these big world changing plot points.
Right.
But so it starts heavy.
It does start heavy. And I forgot that about this game. By the way, I grew up playing this game.
Did you?
I loved it. Yeah, I loved the Game Boy Advance. I had all the good games. So this was one very nostalgic, but really fun to revisit this game. Let's see what else. Okay. So anyways, you are eavesdropping on these villains that are clearly evil, that are, you find out they're the reason that this avalanche started, because they wanted to go into the temple up there and retrieve the four elements. So the Venus, the Mars, and all that. There are stars, elemental stars. They wanted to take those and bring alchemy back so they can be powerful and blah, 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 typical stuff. That's the plot. I think that's enough overview for us to talk about the game some more later.
Gameplay.
Plays like a typical RPG. You have a top-down view of Isaac. You go through the game with four party members, including Isaac, so three others. And I guess we can name those. So you have Garrett, who is your best friend. He is a Mars adept. Then you have Ivan, and you have Mia. Mia's a Mercury adept, and Ivan is the other one that I keep forgetting. Jupiter. Mm-hmm. Cool. So you kind of get a little of each. That's your party, at least. You move through dungeons. So, like, I mean, you can probably imagine how this game plays. When I say a typical RPG, think honestly, like a SNES RPG.
I actually think it's the easiest way, and I hate this because this is going to sound bad, but this game is like if you took every other RPG that you liked and ripped them off, but then made a really, really good game out of it. Because I feel like it's got elements from a bunch of different things all kind of blended together. In the same way that, like, I was kind of scoffing earlier because I felt like the magic was, you know, half telekinesis, half magic, half alchemy, half whatever, you know, the whole list of things. I feel like the gameplay was the same way. You had elements that were kind of in-world puzzle-ish that almost felt a little bit Zelda or kind of adventure RPG vibe that you don't normally get in your typical JRPGs. You've got some of your really normal RPG magic elements, but sort of unique takes on them in terms of having these djinn that line up with your, you know, with your elemental association and that you can assign to different people and the way that whole thing works. I legitimately felt like there was nothing novel about this game, but that all of the normal things they did, like they took the best things from other games and then really committed to doing those well. I don't know.
I mean, I guess that can be a good thing. I kind of see what you're saying. So you named several things, and I think like you named our gameplay section. So let's just break it down one by one. So you started with the puzzles, and I think that's a huge one.
I love that about this game.
Maybe we won't start with that one. Let's start with djinn because they coincide with battle and with the magic system.
Talk through that djinn system a little because it's unique, and some of the trade-offs of how you're going to use them makes you make some kind of decisions in battle that are actually a little bit interesting, which sometimes games like this lack. They can tend to feel, you know, real sort of boxish.
Yeah, sure. So djinn are Pokemon.
Kind of.
I mean, if we're going to start drawing correlations from the best of other games, djinn are Pokemon.
Yeah. I mean, you're collecting these kind of monster creatures from out in the world that help you with your battles and that.
But they're cute. Like
they are.
They're cute, and they're these little friendly animals, magical animals. So
and you want to catch them all.
You do. It's Pokemon. I never thought about it this way. This will be interesting gameplay section. So djinn are very good in that you use them in battle, you use them in the overworld, and your characters can essentially just bond with them and draw synergy abilities from them. So like, well, each character has their class, right? So you can attach djinn to them and modify those attributes of their class. A lot of the stats are like hidden, like just in the game's data, like you can't really look at to manipulate it or anything, but it does change those abilities. It can make you stronger at attacking, like physical attacks. It could make your magic stronger. And then like, it gets kind of confusing because when you attach a djinn to a character, you set them to that character. But so set is one state of a djinn and standby is the other state.
And so if they're set to you, you're getting all of these kind of passive bonuses, almost class redefinition that lets your character play a little bit differently.
Right. So like you can have a djinn set that might heal. And then you can use that in battle. When you use that, though, a set djinn, they get moved into the standby state. So standby mode is still significant because that doesn't mean that they're used up and you can't. They're pointless now. Like they're still in the background manipulating some of the things in combat.
Right. You just lose some of those passive stats. So that's where it's sort of a little bit of a trade-off. When do you when do you use these powers and what's the cost of your character not being as strong, but to end up using a skill that you might really need. And if I have, like, as I was playing, I don't know if I really paid attention to the correlation here, but you can still summon even after they've been put in standby, right?
Yeah. In fact, that's how you summon. So
you're right. It's the order. It's set and then put them to standby and then summon them.
When they're set to a character, they gain those bonuses, and it's like really strong physical, for instance, that could be one. And when they're in standby, which is probably the most useful state, honestly, because summons are really big in this game. Like, you can spam summons, and in battle, the Djinn will be summoned and then do like a heavy AoE hit, for instance.
So at this point, I'm hearing Aladdin meets Final Fantasy VII.
No. What, Aladdin? What do you mean?
Oh, because it's Djinn. Like, they're genies. They're from the lore that they're stealing from every other game that I think is all that they did.
Don't get crazy. I was with you until you said Aladdin.
Like, Djinn is a totally normal trope, but not normally one you get like with this normal magic stuff. You tend to get it more when it's like Middle Eastern, sort of Arabian style magic.
Fine. So I guess we can talk about the battle system a little bit. I mean, we have, but like the setting of battles and how they happen in this game.
Yeah, it's pretty typical. You're talking turn-based, normal RPG stuff. I think the kind of stuff they do with sort of the faux 3D and the bright, colorful sprites and all the really, really cool animations that they're doing. Game Boy Advance feels a little bit like a Super Nintendo to me, but a shinier one, you know, being 32-bit. You know, it's got that vibe, but it's...
Yeah.
You know,
someone in Discord said that this week. They described it as SNES Plus.
Yeah, I think it's a great way of describing it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. That's totally what it feels like.
The colors, and maybe it's just how they developed this game, but it at least had that vibe. I don't know. I didn't play enough Game Boy Advance stuff. It was kind of after my time to really know it. But if it's all titles like this, I need to change that fact, because this thing was pretty. And anyhow, so like the neatest thing about Battle is how they handle, I think, the camera system in terms of what you're looking at. It just feels really immersive, and I don't know. The battles felt more engaging than they actually were, I think, just because
I agree.
Did visually. Like,
right. So they're random encounters. I don't know if you said that. Like, right. It's walking in the dungeon or overworld and you get in a random encounter. And I kind of thought they were a little too, like, I think the RNG was a little too heavy on the side of like, oh, here's a battle. Oh, here's a battle. Maybe that was just me feeling that. But I kind of felt like I came into a lot of them. Which is fine. I mean,
yeah, like, it is. I found myself occasionally running from battles just to try and get that pace down a little bit. It may have been slightly overtuned, but part of that is also going back and playing any RPG from this era. Like, they're just grindy.
But I do think the battles are engaging, and we can talk about some of that in age, like as far as the graphical contribution to that. But also just the simplicity of it. Again, nothing new, like physical hit, you can use your magic, but they don't throw like a crap ton of enemies at you. So when you open up the game, when you open up a battle, you have a HUD at the bottom. It says attack, it says psi energy, and it says Djinn.
Right.
And you can choose from those how you want to handle it. But you usually at the beginning, at least, only run into like one, maybe two monsters at a time. So it's not super punishing in the sense that you're taking a ton of damage and you're having to like heal every, I don't know, like after every battle or two.
At least in the early portions of the game, I didn't feel like difficulty either from over spawning of enemies or even just like bosses was too hard. It felt pretty fine.
Yeah. And just to let you know, the game, I've beat the game, but it was very, very hard. The late game,
does it get tougher?
In this game, it's very hard.
Good. Like, I like that.
Yeah,
I agree. I like challenging games, but I don't think it needs to happen at the beginning. I think it needs to walk you into the system and let you get to know the world and controls and how items work and feel like you can grind your way up a little bit. And, you know, I don't mind it if it's a good ramp. If you don't beat a final boss and feel like you had to work for it, like you're robbing yourself of a good game in my mind.
Sure. And I think they handled it and pretty like, I think they handled it well in this game because all they really do is increase enemy health and maybe their damage, which duh, but it doesn't get too more involved than that. What they do is they make you use the gens and kind of experiment with that because in a game like this, I would expect, like if I was listening to this right now, I would expect each character to come across their own gen or two in the game. And it's like, oh, those are Isaac's gen. But no, you can trade them and set them to different characters and customize your playthrough. And like, I think that adds to the balance of the game and makes it harder later, but then like really fun to deal with a challenge because you can experiment with summons and different playstyles.
And it gives you a lot of replayability and ability to kind of cater to your preferences of style as well in terms of, you know, just how you want to go about battles, but even sort of who each of your characters are. And so it feels, I felt like it was a good way to do the magic system. I really did.
Another weird thing about the battle system. So your HUD at the bottom, after you do a hit or any action that happens in battle, it does this, it does the old school like text scroll describe what happened thing. So zombie Isaac jump slashes zombie, does 47 damage, Isaac or zombie takes damage, like that kind of thing. And then when you win, it's like Isaac leveled up, HP up, attack up, and it just shows you that in text form, which I thought was very like old school and
like
something
it.
That stood out to me this time. You
It feels old for when this game came out, but again, it's got a kind of old school RPG vibe, and so I thought it fit perfectly. And
interesting
to some degree, I don't know that there's a better way to communicate stuff when you're talking. Like the Game Boy Advance wasn't the old school Game Boy. Like it's not tiny and monochrome, but it's not like a big screen. You got to be clear in what you're communicating.
That's true.
And so I liked that they included that approach, but it's definitely one that might turn some people off. It feels a little outdated. The battle system wasn't my favorite thing about gameplay, though. We mentioned it earlier, but my favorite element of gameplay was all of these kind of overworld puzzles that you were constantly having to solve.
And I think that's, for me, that's my favorite as well.
Absolutely.
Like it's very unique to an RPG. So go take
it is. Take and it away. It's, I described it earlier as Zelda, but it's not Zelda. It's not puzzles, it's not. Dungeons in the classic sense. It tends to be more sort of interactive mazes where you are moving things, sometimes physically, but sometimes with your synergy. I'm going to commit to it.
Synergy.
By like pushing something or pulling something or knocking something off of the ledge or using a whirlwind to blow some bushes out of the way so that there's something else that you can interact with. And so it really makes your magic be something that you're not just using in battle, which is super rewarding. Normally it's just like you have these magic skills as a character's walking around the world and you never pull them out until you're fighting this giant monster. And that doesn't seem really realistic to me. So you're using your magic all the time and like can even set different kind of quick cast abilities for your characters. And just they implement it really well. And like not only are you using your magic, but you're using it to do puzzles. You may have to knock down something that lets you walk around it, that then lets you access something that'll bring you up a level where you can then jump down from one level to another. And if you didn't push something into the right place earlier, then you got to go back and do it again. And it sounds, as I describe it, really tedious, but it's not. It's engaging and it makes you pay attention to where you are and it makes you think about, I don't know, the ramifications of everything that you do, and it forces you to explore a little bit. And it just, I felt like I was always on my toes and not just when I was in battle. And it really helped me feel immersed in this game.
Yeah. So an example of that puzzling is probably in like the second or third dungeon, I think, where you see a djinn like that you want to capture. And by the way, to capture them, you have to beat them. So that's another fun little thing. They're kind of like a little mini boss. but you see one up on a platform that you cannot get to. It's just kind of chilling on this giant pillar. And anyways, you go through the dungeon like you normally would. You do a lot of the dungeon, actually, but you come across this one room with a chest on the side, and you notice like a log that you can push with your move synergy. So there's one called move where a hand comes out on the screen like a giant white gloved hand and pushes something.
It's the boss from
Smash Brothers.
Smash Brothers 64 combined with telekinesis.
Yeah, basically. So it pushes objects in the overworld, which is really cool. Like that's really applicable. You use that one a lot. So you push it to get to this chest, and you see another log just chilling on a pillar by itself, and you're like, And you push it off of the pillar, and it falls down into a black pit. But it turns out it falls below you and makes a path to the djinn that you can get to later. So that's an example of the puzzle. It gets way more involved.
It gets way more involved.
With Mercury synergy, that's the water stuff. So you get one called ice, obviously, and you can make ice pillars that you can hop across water with. Like, it's really fun.
I think the one that, to me, felt the most novel, and there already were some novel ones, but I was like, I went from this is cool to, oh my goodness, this is such an amazing feature. They thought it through super well, was this lake, this damned lake. A lake that has been dammed. Sorry, I wasn't cursing the lake. I was
this damned lake.
Yeah. And so you walk in, and there's a bunch of logs floating on the lake, but you can't manipulate the logs while they're floating. You can just jump on them and walk across, but they don't really take you anywhere. And so then you can go and release water from the dam, which empties the lake. Then you can roll the logs around, but in kind of puzzle format where they're running into each other. And so you really have to manipulate them carefully. And then you can go raise the water level again, which lets you cross the lake into different areas and unlock some treasure and get to a bunch of things that you couldn't get to without like numerous times raising and lowering the water level and kind of exploring the options of what this puzzle can do. And little things like that, but variations of it all the time. I don't know. It just, when you read about this game, everyone talks about part of the reason this game ended up being loved so much by everyone is because the developers had a long, for the time and for the game and the console, a long development cycle to put into the game. And everyone says that's why it ended up being a good game. And I don't know if that's the only reason, but little details like that that are super well thought out and complex and that aren't repetitive just felt so rewarding. And if that's why, then in my mind, give us less games, less often, but better ones. Bring it on.
Aged. So I played this game growing up, and it's a miracle. I don't know how I ended up with this game. Like, I didn't buy it. I want to say someone let me borrow it. I mean, I have it, so if someone let me borrow it, I've stole it. And I played it on physical this week, which was fun. My Game Boy SP, my Game Boy Advance SP, goodness.
Wow.
On the train on the way to work.
That's a lot of letters.
It was great.
That sounds awesome.
Again, with all these games that I enjoy, why are they not still a thing?
No, it's kind of frustrating when you have old games, and I know this isn't as old as a lot of games we play, but that do age as well as this one does. It's kind of frustrating that there's not even easier ways to get and play some of these titles. That said, I think this game aged terrifically. I know we mentioned some of the things about it that make it sound old, the scrolling text, the fact that it feels kind of like a Super Nintendo game. And when you're going sort of back a console, it doesn't sound like you're sort of progressive and forward looking and whatever else, but that's all just style stuff. The images are immaculate and clean and pretty and bright.
The sprites, so you like the graphics,
are fun. I love the graphics. I think they're great. Now, some of the stuff that like the genre does, I don't love. Not so much the graphics, but the way they're used. Like, you get the annoying little Japanese stuff where there's the emoticons. They didn't call them that then, you know. But like the emotion symbols over characters and the
that pop up above their head. Yeah.
And the like the weird characters bouncing as if that's a form of communication. And it's like, I don't know what you're trying to tell me.
That's very much a GBA thing. I know it was in SNES games too, but like they really had to go for that to show emotion or like show a character is upset. And I kind of love it. Yeah.
No, I don't love it. It bugs me, but I think it fits with this game and it's not a surprise with this game. So, but besides those kinds of things, the game picks up easily. It feels super natural, not magical. Well, there's some of that too, but like it's natural to play. It's fluid. I don't know. This game aged really well.
I'm glad you said that. I thought we might have to have a fight because y'all were saying like, or Dustin was mad that we didn't like that stupid game. I don't even know the name of it. And then you were mad because of PAL.
Oh my goodness,
I thought you were just
going to
spite me.
POW was a great little gem of an NES game, but we don't need to go back to that.
I actually noticed that I noticed the graphics this week being rough. I did. And I'm used to GBA. And I will say this, it looks 100 times better on a Game Boy Advance with the backlight. But duh, because it's a smaller screen, it's more compressed, and you have less pixel stretching. That said, I liked what they did with the graphics. It's bright. Each character, and I'm talking sprites, they're small, but each character looks unique.
Yeah, unique.
Like I can tell who Isaac is.
Absolutely.
I can tell who Garrett is and Ivan. Ivan's green cloak, Garrett's DBZ orange hair, and then Isaac's blonde hair and his sword on his back. I can see all of it in game, and I thought that was impressive that they could pull it off on there.
Oh, for sure. The little animations are fun. Yeah. I don't even know. Like, I know it's GBA, so it's not like it's best graphics ever, but they weren't afraid to use what they had. You know, like, again, the camera angles in battle and the battle effects like were big and bright and sparkly and kind of over the top. And that's sort of what you want in this style of game, is for them to say, hey, if we've got assets, let's just use them and make it fun. And they did. And I liked it.
Yeah. And what's kind of annoying is that they have options in the game and dialogue. So someone asks you a question, 9 times out of 10, actually every time, it's yes or no.
It is.
And it's just like, okay, like that's not even necessary really. So it's just kind of a dumb thing that they put in.
My understanding, and I didn't pursue this, but reading and kind of researching the game this week while playing, my understanding is that fairly early in the game, there's a place where you can like disagree with one of the main characters in some really important kinds of ways. And the game basically cuts. It's basically you saying, like, I don't want to go on this big adventure and save the world. Like, no, I'm not going to do it. And the game basically cuts to the end of the game and shows the world being destroyed. It's not far enough in the game that you can't just start over and, like, replay it and not make that choice. And so I kind of love it. And, I mean, you've got save files.
Wait, you can really do that? I didn't know I did that.
That's my understanding. I'm not I didn't see it myself, but I read something that implied
I'll
it.
I'll have
it
to test that. Yeah, because that's amazing.
Oh, it's so funny. And I love that. But yeah.
That makes me happy.
It aged well. So
It did. And I know I bashed the writing earlier because I was saying typical RPG stuff. It's not that bad, actually. It's really not. Like, in some places I was like, oh, that's actually conversational and a normal human reaction to that situation instead of...
They kind of take shortcuts sometimes, but if anything, I think they err on too much dialogue. Not that it's bad, but it is lots of characters talking to each other.
Dustin would love this game, I think.
I think so too.
That.
If there was a week really for him to miss a game that he would have absolutely adored, I think it was this week. It was terrible timing. But yeah, a little heavy-handed on the dialogue for me. I would have much rather been in battle, you know, grabbing items, exploring, doing some of the puzzles. But it moves the story along. It makes you feel connected to the characters. And they do that well, like that whole opening scene that we kind of scoffed at, like it draws you in. You're hooked. Yeah, it's got the emotion. It's right in the feels. So I don't know.
I was a little surprised by that. I was expecting, and I've played it, but I was like, I think it's pretty bad, but it's not. Last thing I'll say about The Age, I think the music's amazing. Of course, most RPGs have great music. This is no exception. This is great.
I'll agree. I didn't notice it. Well, it didn't stick out, which means to me it was doing its job really well. I do think it was excellent, but I don't ever remember being like, wow. But I think in a really good kind of backhanded compliment sort of way, you know, like it just fit the theme and like you didn't even notice it. You just felt harder.
Now, something really cool. You can still play the game, by the way. It's very easy to pick up. But there's a sequel to this game that I have not played all the way through. And I'm a little surprised that I haven't, because that game follows the antagonists of this game.
Sort of continuation of the same story, but from the other perspective.
Right, because you find out that Felix, Jenna's sister from, or Jenna's brother from the beginning.
Are you about to drop a really big spoiler? Because I don't want to know.
No, it's not a huge spoiler.
Oh, okay.
It's known if you read about, it's known. Felix is the main character of that game. And you run across him a lot in the first game. And you're like, oh, why is he evil now? There's more to it than that. And it's a really interesting story. So you can get into this series. There's one on DS that I haven't played and I didn't know about it either. But yeah,
well, play it. I said no spoilers because I definitely plan on coming back and playing some more of this game, which probably preemptively brings me to us talking about how we felt about it. Let's jump in. New Game Plus status.
Final thoughts.
Yeah, so typically for New Game Plus status, it requires 2/3 of the votes to swing one way. I'm trying to remember what Dustin says. I'm doing pretty good. One way or the other. So we only have 2 people. I think what's been the rule? We both have to agree for it to stand.
I think what we've said in the past is if we disagree, we'll just force Dustin to decide when he comes back next episode.
Okay.
But I don't think we've run into that yet, and I don't expect that we will run into that this week, because
we'll go ahead.
When we picked this game last week from the randomizer, you got super hyped. You said only positive things about it, and I had an absolutely amazing time playing this game.
That makes me happy.
I would say this isn't... I know there were some caveats, things that I didn't love, amount of text, few little style things. But I wasn't kidding when I said I loved the overworld thing. And me saying that it was sort of uninspired in where it got ideas from doesn't mean that they don't do those ideas with excellence. This game is classic RPG. Wow. It's a classic RPG, but in the best sense. And for being a small screen portable title, it delivers big on the gameplay and the feels, and I adored it. I think possibly one of our top 10 or 15 games of all the games we've played for me.
Dang.
I'll say 20 really confidently.
No, okay, then that's not even a compliment, really. 20 is a lot of games.
Okay, fine, I'll say 15. It's a really good game.
No, you'll say 10.
Like, I've loved it.
15's a weird number.
No, I'm not going to say 10. We've played 140-something games and some really, really good ones, but this is certainly up among them. It was great, and Dustin, you should feel really bad that you missed this game and go back and play it anyways, because it's worth it.
I don't have to say much else. I think I've communicated how I feel about this game. I'm not completely blinded by nostalgia. I gave it a fair shot. I noticed the graphical hiccups here and there, but still, like, that's just me forcing a critique on it, because they still did amazing graphics, and like the world looks beautiful and unique. Like, some of the trees are stumps. I mean, some some of the homes are made out of giant tree stumps and like roots coming out of them, and it's like, okay, you didn't have to do that, but you did, and I love it. So it's an amazing game. I've always loved handheld titles. I love RPGs, and this is beloved for a reason, and I need answers as to why it's not a thing anymore. And I guarantee you it has to do with sales and publisher
most likely.
Stuff.
Or rights kind of stuff, the same things that always kill titles. But this would be a great series for somebody to pick up and reboot, because just so much fun.
So Golden Sun receives our vote for New Game Plus status. You should play this game, find a way to play it, and enjoy.
does. That brings us to the point in the episode where we get to find out what new game, new old game, we get to play next week. So
I gotta say, I'm usually excited. I'm kind of bummed that not.
Yeah, we're leaving a good one, and so it's always a big moment. But let's hit that randomizer and see what's in store for us this week. All right, this game's New Game Plus Game of the Week is a 1994 title originally developed and released by Epic Mega Games.
It's a terrible company name.
For IBM personal computers running DOS.
Count me out.
I know that you are like sort of anti, but it's an era I tend to love.
I know.
We are playing Jazz Jackrabbit.
What?
I know you scoff because the crazy silly title, but this is a platformer, computer game platformer that I played as a kid, and I think you'll be a little bit surprised. Well, we'll see. Okay. But I have fond memories of this one from like early days of when, you know, stuff was floating around as shareware and, you know, getting things on discs and just that whole sort of era of PC gaming has a special place in my heart. And Jazz Jackrabbit as a 1994 title falls smack dab in the middle of that. So as always, we encourage you guys, get a copy of this game, play along with us, because we'd love to know some of your thoughts.
You can share those thoughts in our Discord. This week we have a New Game Plus Discord server that anyone is welcome to join. We've had several people join just in this last week. So go to our Twitter page, look at the pinned tweet at the top, and click on Discord, and you'll get invited.
As always, we want to take a minute to give a big shout out to all of our patrons who support us on Patreon.com. You guys help us to continue making this podcast with excellence. And we're just so appreciative, especially to our producer level supporters, Bradley, Zion, and Gimbarino. You guys are the jazz to our jackrabbit.
I'll ignore that and say you can always find us on social media. So we're on Facebook, Twitter. We are on YouTube now. You can search NGP Podcast to find us. And it's New Game Plus Podcast on YouTube. We have some regular weekly content that goes up. Dustin is currently playing through Hollow Knight, and that's coming through on a weekly basis, and you don't want to miss that. So check that out. If you have the time, leave a rating on iTunes or your preferred podcast platform. It's always appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Thank you for your service. Well, until next week, bust out your old IBM PC, play some Jazz Jackrabbit with us, and we can't wait to hear from you. Until then, I'm Kenny.
I miss Dustin.
And I'm glad that Nolan and I agree for once.
And this
I hope you do it.
Let's do it together.
Okay. That was not together at all. One more time.
New.
Oh my goodness.
Game.
No.
Plus.
You gotta do it with me. Welcome to another episode of New Game Plus.
More hype. You gotta be more hype.
Well, I gotta be. Okay. I'll do it with Dustin hype. You're right.
Yeah.
The problem is, like, the thing that goes into my ear mainly is NPR, because I've become that guy and I'm middle aged.
You sound
terrible.
Like that right now.
And so now I sound like a I don't know, hippie, pot-smoking vegan.
Welcome back to the cool sounds of jazz.
And in other news, the world is a terrible place.